One of the things as we go through the letter to the church of Thessalonica, the community at Thessalonica, these early believers, what was crucial? What is fundamental? I'm going to give you three things we got to grasp. Okay? If you're going to be a person of faith, these aren't optional. Okay? There's some things that aren't optional. And some of you go, oh, why in the world do you go over this stuff? I already know that. Oh, really? Well, then let me ask you a question. Why are there 85,000 unchurched people in Warren County? Do we really believe? See, the trouble of growing up in the South is church can be a part of your routine. You know, I mean, we're Southerners. You go to church 11 to 12. You go to church and you eat lunch at mama's house or grandmama's house afterwards. That's what you do in the South. And you can get into a rhythm of everyday life. And here's what I want to caution you of. Don't let the hum of everydayness lull you to sleep on the extraordinary things that are going on inside of you. Because of Jesus Christ. God wants to bless you. How many understand that? God has already blessed you if you're saved. Not only does He want to bless you, He's already blessed you. So really what I'm asking you to do, and I'm asking myself to do, release the blessing. Release it. It's already in you. It's already in you. Faith is in you. Here's one thing that's not optional. How many of you all believe that God created. We don't create ourselves. God made you. I go over this because you know what? That's up for grabs in our society today. And you go, well, Pastor, does that really make a... You know, I got some of my buddies that say, well, does it really make a big difference? I said, absolutely. Because if you believe you can create yourself, then that causes you to want to save yourself. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference of how we understand the world. We believe God created. I believe that God made you. Do I know all the details of how God made you? No. I just know He made us. I know He made us. And the second one, we got to realize this. You and I have messed up. Every human being has messed up. How many of you have come to grips with that? Woo! It's hard for church people to get a hold of that. They'll go, well, now, Pastor, I don't drink, smoke, chew, or do. If you'll read the Bible, there's a little longer list than that in the Bible. We tend to like to pick out the sins that we approve. And then we say, okay, I'm not going to do these four things, so thus I must be holy. Now, here's what I want you to know. We've all messed up in some way. We've all done something that has disregarded what God wanted us to be, and we all have sinned. Y'all got that? And then here's the third thing I want you to know. Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. Jesus Christ makes new life. Peggy, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that, girl? Amen. Everything changed for Tommy because of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have good news at the moment of death because of who? Jesus. Not because of me, not because of you. Watch this. Not because of the church, but because of those three things. God made us. You and I have messed up. We call that sin. And Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Now go with me to the third chapter. The third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Okay, we're going through each chapter. Five Sundays, five chapters, nugget out of each chapter. Here's the nugget today. How many of you long? How many of y'all ever had a longing? I long for this to happen. Because I want to encourage you today to get a longing to see others saved. We don't have that in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And there's a reason for that. We're Americans. I mean, let's really get honest. Who do Americans care about? You all are honest, at least. That's an honest answer. Who does the American church care about? Themselves. The Southern Baptist Convention, I try to gently and tenderly, and you all know I have a hard time with gently and tenderly. But I ask some questions. That's why I'm not invited to many preacher parties. How can we spend all this money and see our evangelism being less than it was 25 years ago? Because maybe we're not directing our resources to the main message. It's about people coming to know Jesus. You know, if all you've done is gone to church, then you'll never see heaven. If all you've done is adopted good morals, then you'll never see heaven. Somewhere down the line, this message becomes real of grace. Jesus Christ enters our lives, forgives us of our sin, changes us. And that changes the way we think. Hallelujah. And when we change by the way we think, then the way we act begins to change. Amen. Well, go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Is my Bible around here somewhere? Where did I put it? Hold on. You know what? The family bookstore needs to get a Bible clapper. You know, kind of like your keys and boom, boom, my Bible, you know. One of you great, smart people create that. You hit it and it quotes a verse you need to know. Would that not be awesome or what? Who knows? Look at me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, today in the message, not only do I want you to receive the truth of God, but I want you to receive the attitude of the truth. And I want you to hear the scripture. And I've really asked God, I said, this Sunday, God, please, let us hear the attitude of grace. I think grace has got an attitude. Look at verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. What's Paul excited about? He said, Timothy, they didn't have the internet back then, so Timothy had to be the internet. And he came back as the web page from the community of Thessalonica, and he's reporting to Paul. And the good news, guess what? He didn't give attendance report. What are we all excited about? In fact, when Hillview started out, we would get calls from preachers, and I loved Amy Willis. Amy Willis, my assistant, she's so sharp. And they'd all ask, they said, well, what did y'all do at Hillview yesterday? So we had worship. Now, what they wanted to know is how many people were there. Now, here's what I want you to know. Who cares? If there were a bunch of people there and none of them met Jesus Christ, then what did we do? I got tickled at the church. They go, our church has got 23,000 in. I said, Van Halen's got 123,000 in the concert. You want to see a multi-generational minister? Jimmy Buffett. And they'll stand in the rain and listen to him. So it's got to be more than the crowd. It is a group of people being changed by the grace of God. How many of you are glad to be a group of people being changed by the grace of God? It gets real. See, the reality is when I got my brother Chad's in a deep tragedy, and that's real in human life. And guess what? The hope we have is who? Kathy, it's who? It's Jesus, isn't it, Chad? Jesus gets real when you hit real life, doesn't he? How many of y'all can praise God that Jesus gets real when tragedy shows up? But you know what? He's also real when blessing shows up. This is real. Now, some of you today, guess what you're going to do for the first time in your life? The Holy Spirit's going to draw you, and you're going to say, God, I'm sick and tired of being sinful. I'm sick and tired of living like I'm living. I'm going to step in and believe in faith and love. These are crucial issues. Hello. Faith and what?
Love.
Faith and what?
Love.
You know what? Paul said, I'm encouraged. Here's what I want you to know today. I got a simple message today that has great results. Your faith is contagious. In fact, we ought to be as worried about our faith spreading as we are swine flu. Or H1N1, H3, H4, whatever we call it. What if our faith was as contagious as the flu? What if we sneeze and say, hold on, you might catch Jesus by that. Watch my faith. It ought to be contagious. Paul said, I'm excited. Timothy's given the report. Paul said, I'm excited that when we observed you as a group of people, the two outstanding things were faith and what? Love. Well, you know, they still work, man. I got faith today. I'm preaching today because you know what? I got faith that the Holy Spirit's going to draw some of you here and you're going to encounter Jesus Christ and you're never going to be the same. Did y'all hear Frank's testimony? He's never been the same. You know what Frank used to do? He used to go and smoke dope in his room. Now, for you church people, I'm sorry we're getting that real. Do y'all know good-looking, clean-cut people smoke dope too? Do y'all know people that go to church smoke dope? People that go to traditional churches smoke dope. There are some pastors that have smoked dope. Because you know what they decided to do? Let's go get high. You know why? You'll want to go get high when you're low on faith and love. But boy, am I not lucky? I'm the luckiest guy alive. Because guess what I get to tell you today? There is a real Jesus who has faith that He can save you. There's a Jesus that loves you so much that He died for you. There's a reality of a community of faith that the more we love Jesus, the more faith and love we encounter, the stronger we can get through anything. That's why I follow Jesus, man. This is real. This is real. This is what?
Real.
Paul said, this is real, man. Your faith and love. Let's go to verse 7. What happens? Therefore. Oh, I got to back up, though. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Now, I wanted to get an attitude of the truth. How many of y'all long to get to church on Sunday? Can I thank y'all for something? I really like being your pastor. I don't know that if you like having me as your pastor, but I really like being your pastor. That hadn't always been the case in my life. Do y'all think this might have been problematic? I was in ministry in a church, and we lived close to the church, and I was supposed to teach Bible study. It was called Sunday school back then at 9:30, and my wife would be kicking me out of bed on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and guess what my response was? I don't want to go. And I was one of the pastors. Where do you think that put the rest of the church? I'm telling you a true story. I didn't want to go because I didn't long to see those folks. You know why? Because when you were around those folks, they just complained and moaned. How many of you all long to see people that complain? How many of you go, oh, here they come, a bundle of joy, telling me how tragic the world will be? I think the church, man, listen, I don't want to be critical. I just want to be observational. That's a nice way for saying I'm going to be critical. I don't think we need to be complainers and moaners. I think we need to be faithers and lovers. People that say, I am convinced Jesus is going to take us to heaven and He will endure all situations. And my faith is unshakable because Jesus is unshakable. That's why I stand. Now hold on. And Jerry, we really got to get this policy. We need, now please, y'all, is everybody's ears open? Let me check before I don't need an email on this. I gotta say this in a way so you really understand what Jesus does. Jesus loves the hell out of us. Now do you understand how I'm saying that? Inside of us because of sin, what does sin create? Hell. Now I know some of you who are polite say, well you need to say Hades. I never had Hades. I had hell. We're not going to Hades. That makes hell sound like Disneyland. It's not. That's one of the weapons of the devil to sweeten sin. Here's the cause of the gospel. To show you the power of the gospel, it is the solution. Paul said, I long to see you and you long to see me. Look at the person beside you. Do you long to see them? Absolutely. I long to see you. I don't know about you guys, but I look forward to Sunday. How many of y'all look forward to Sunday? You know, I hear the news all week long, and I hear everything that's gone wrong. I hear everything that's going to go wrong. How many of you all have prophets of doom in your life? You know, they come by, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to be tragic, that's not going to... And guess what? I get to church on Sunday, and Jesus hadn't changed. Jesus is still saying the same thing. Jesus is still the hope of the world. Jesus is still eternal life. Heaven is still possible, because Jesus can't be moved. I don't know about y'all, but that's real! See, Paul lived this out. This is what blows me. I got some preachers in here today. Preachers, preach what Paul preached. I can't find one sermon where Paul preached a sermon on 10 successful keys to being a Christian business person. That's not preaching the Bible. Look, we said, I long to see you. And I've heard you long to see us. Why? We are of the same faith. You and I are of the same faith. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our Lord. Crucified, resurrected, vibrating in our midst. Woo! What would happen if the church ever started vibrating grace? Now we're getting real. You go, would that make us a holy roller? No! That would make us a holy vibration. Something's up with these folk. Now look at here. Love, Faith, hope, remember the three keys. God created us. You and I have sinned. God recreated us through the grace of Jesus Christ. Hold those fundamentals. Look. Verse 8. For now we really live, since you're standing firm in the Lord. You see, when I hear a testimony, I know Frank, the testimony, the video testimony. I know Frank personally, and I know what God's done in Frank's life, and I know what God's done in a lot of y'all's lives, and I even know what God's going to do in a lot of our lives, and I praise God that He can change our lives. You know what I love about Hillview? Here's what excites me about Hillview. It's not the buildings. It's definitely not the parking lot. But you know what it is? It's that the testimonies are from Jesus. How many of y'all are living a life only Jesus could change? Me too. What's this? I don't act perfect, but I've been made perfect. Can you live with that paradox? I don't act perfect, but I've been made what? You know what my faith is? This is going to blow you all away. One day, you and I are going to be perfect. Now, I know some of you think you have arrived at that. I just want to let you know it's probably not here just yet. Cindy, do you and Earl have a perfect marriage? Pretty close? Was it a lot closer now than it was 125 years ago? Or is it, 63? They've been married for 63 years. But Earl, what have you done? Is it better now than it was 20 years ago?
Absolutely.
Hey, listen to this. Earl's my hero. Any of y'all that have marriage problems, I recommend you see Earl and Cindy. I just got this crazy thing. You know, most of us want to go to a counselor that's been divorced 25 times. Why don't we try reverse that and talk to somebody that's been married for 63 years? They've been married longer than most of y'all have been alive. How did you do it? Hold on. Oh, we're getting a little truth here. Earl said it was easy. What made it easy?
We loved each other.
You loved each other. Faith and love. Don't y'all wish I'd preach something sophisticated?
No.
Like your favorite ecclesiastical prophecy out of Revelation. Are you going to be hoovered up, set for a while, or hoovered in the middle? Here's what I know. If you're not with Jesus, none of that's going to happen. Are you in Christ? Do you long to see those in Christ? Do you long to sing the songs of God? Do you long to hear the Word of God? That's the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Jerry. Amen? How many of y'all understand it's okay to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And by the way, you are filled with the Holy Ghost if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you long for the things of God. Here's our hope. We'll see each other again in heaven. Amen? Yeah, we will. To see you later. Look now. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Day and night. Get this attitude. Day and night. How many of us do this? Day and night. We pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Hold on, I want to give you a concept here. When we come together, guess what we get to do? How many of you all have some faith gaps? Anybody here have a faith gap? You know, there's places that you got it going on with God, but then there's other places you don't have it going on with God. Does anybody have that situation? Now you understand the body of Christ. When we come together, guess what we do? We supply in each other what is missing. See, some sister may hold an incredible faith, and I need God's word through her at that moment. Like, my wife's got faith. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, we work as a team, man, but my wife is the one that has incredible faith. I'll even tell you about it. She's got a gift of faith. When we started this church, we didn't have any money. Guess what I was doing? Some of you guys who are very logical and very rational, you know, when I said, Elizabeth, we're going to go broke. Guess what she said? No, we're not. And I said, we're going broke. Look at the figures. Guess what she said? Not. And I said, we got to sail the boat. And she said, no, we don't. And she said, I said, well, how do you know no, we don't? She said, God knows that the psychiatrist costs more than the boat payment. I said, how can you be this calm? She said, I thought you said the Lord called you there. I said, I did, but I didn't mean it. She said, yeah, you did. And she said, and here's what you're going to learn for the first time in your life. You're not in charge. And she said, what's driving you crazy has nothing to do with money. Watch this. It has nothing to do with money. She said, the reason your little ego is all tore up. See, a woman could talk to you like that. I hit a man talk to me like that. See, your little, and she did it with that beautiful little, you know, your little ego. Like, honey, this ego's precious. And you're just spinning it around like it's insignificant. Guess what I've learned over the years? It is. Because faith and love cannot occur until I long to see something that's beyond myself. Grace. Faith and love, man, it still works. Paul said, I long to see you. I long for you to be in the faith. Listen, other people that come to the faith, you know what? Kirby's going to be an example that Jesus doesn't quit. Death's not a mystery to me. I'm very plain about death. It will happen to all of us. I tell you every Sunday. Guess what? We have some people here that aren't here this Sunday that were here last Sunday. They died this week. It happened this week too. Guess what's going to happen next week? I got a good odds next week. Some of that will go on. But guess what else will happen? There were people saved all through the week. There have been people connected to heaven all the week. That God is still moving through all the week. What looks like a tragedy may not be a tragedy if you listen to faith and love in the midst of it. What's God saying? I'm here. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I'm here. How many of y'all glad to have a God that goes past your feelings? Woo! Thank goodness. Even when I don't feel like God's there, guess what? How many of y'all have experienced that? Yeah, me too. I have people all the time say, Pastor Steve, I feel like God's left me. And I go, feelings. Just because you feel it doesn't move God. God doesn't move according to how we feel. God moves according to who He is. And He's a loving and faithful God. Stay with Him and He'll raise you up. Be excited about other people being complete. Help each other complete your faith. Look at this. Now, how may our God and Father Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, clear the way for us to come to you? I want you to hear three things today. First of all, we got to get an attitude that our faith in Jesus Christ and our love for one another is significant to this world. Now, the world's going to downplay that. It's not fancy. It's not sophisticated. It doesn't have a lot of polish to it. It's kind of rugged. I'm going to love you when it hurts. I'm going to stay with you even when it's illogical. I'm going to stay with that even when it's unreasonable. I'm going to stay. Because God's going to stay. Even when everybody says no, God can still say what? Yes. Now, I want you to know, Jesus will prepare a way. He already has. Isn't that cool? I mean, I'm speaking for God. That's my job. That's what I'm called to do. I want to let you know, Jesus Christ wants to save you. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, wait a minute. Don't you understand? I've done a lot of bad things. No, don't you understand? There is a big cross, and it has real blood on it. It has human, godly blood on it from a Messiah named Jesus Christ. And that blood cleanses us of all sin. Now, I'm going to square up. It either does or it doesn't. Which one is it? I think that's worth giving our everything to. What do you think? So I hope you live like this week. First of all, here's what I want you to know. Okay, I'm calling this out. Is that okay? I'm calling this out. There's 85,000 unchurched people in Warren County. That is horrible. That is horrible. I'm concerned about Africa, and I'm concerned about Brazil, and I'm concerned about, you know, parts of Ethiopia. I'm concerned about the whole world. But you know what I'm really concerned about is that in my backyard, there's 85,000 unchurched people. Oh, by the way, let me help you. Americans go to the same hell as everybody else. How can we get all jacked up about sharing the faith to the world when we allow our own nation to live in hell? You know how you change the world? Reach your next door neighbor. Because in Bowling Green, they'll be from all over the world. You live in a town that has the whole world in it. Kind of a crazy place. It's a unique place. It's the only place you can live with less than 100,000 people and live with about 27 different nations. I wonder who designed that. God, he's calling in to tell y'all what I'm telling y'all. Serious right now. Did you hear him? He's calling. Did y'all hear him call? He's saying, that's right, 85,000 people, and I love every one of them. And guess what? It's going to take every one of us to reach them. That makes sense? It's going to take every church in Bowling Green to reach them, and then we're going to have to build some more. It's going to take every opportunity created to reach them. See, I want to do something that's beyond humanity, and that's this. Only Jesus can save a soul. So I long for us to see it in a big way. Now, you know what scares me about Hillview? You all think this is as big as it gets. It's every day. I kind of laugh. It took us 17 years to get to Pentecost. One day under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 3,000 were added that day. And then God added to their number daily those what? Being saved. You know why? People believed that faith in Jesus Christ created eternity, and they believed that loving each other was a benefit to living life. And so do we in here. So you know what? I want you to open up an invitation to Warren County and Butler County, Simpson County, Logan County. Hey, let's not leave out Edmondson County. Let's go get Richardsville. Let's get Barron County. What about Edmonton County? Monroe, come on. Even Barksville. May they come to hear about who? Jesus, man. Let that be released. Has this made any sense today? Three things that are important. God made you. Every human being's messed up somewhere. So our job's not to point a finger, but it's to have faith that God can make the correction. And it's also not our job to just go along and say, well, God will take care of it someday. No, it's our job to faith it. God has made a way. Even Paul prayed that prayer. He said, may Jesus clear a way for us to come to you. You know what I'm asking Jesus to do? Jesus, will you clear a way for people to get to 85,000 unchurched people and just let them know that Jesus Christ's love is for them? Does that make sense? We got to be a part of that. We got to be a part of that. I go to ball games quite a bit. You all know that. You know what tickles me about ball games? Is how many experts there are in the stands. I played ball in my life, and it's interesting. On the field, I got to be honest with you, I missed some tackles. I did. I hate to tell y'all that I missed some tackles. In the stands, I have yet to miss a tackle. How many of y'all that way? Now, I played ball with some of you, and I'm going to tell you what. A lot of you all were a lot worse than you tell it now. I'm going to tell you that right now. Here's the only thing about being an old ball player. People forget. But you know what I've noticed? You can never experience it till you step on the field. In the same as faith, you got to get on the field. And you got to keep coming back. And you got to keep coming back. And you got to keep coming back. And even when everybody in the world is doubting, you got to what? And guess what happens? Somewhere down the line, Jesus opens up a way. And he comes to us. And we live like we've never imagined. God brought some of you here today for this sole purpose. He wanted you to know that he loves you so much right now, he would like to forgive you. He would like to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. He loves you that much. And so I want to invite some of you today to come and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought some of us here today to just simply hear this. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I got you covered. How many of y'all been trying to figure it out all week long? I mean, you've had brain strain. Because all you could see all week long was your problem. What if we replaced our problems with faith in him? What would happen? What if we longed for God to do something great and just instead of just saying, hey, we're just going to kind of get along in faith? I bet we'd see what we've never seen. Amen? And so I want to thank you all for something. I think we ought to encourage one another. I thank you all for being a great congregation. And I thank you all for being cool. I mean, when I see you out in the community, you know what? Let me tell you how much I love this church. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd still go here. That's the only church I've served that I'd say that. I mean, I'd go here. I like just going here. I like going to Bible study here. I like sitting in the balcony and hearing Jamie preach. I like hearing the other preachers. They're really good. I like watching God change all of us. Amen? You know what I like? I'm not the same guy I was when I arrived here 19 years ago. I'm not the same dude. That means God's doing something. And you know what? Here's what's so crazy. I'm more excited today than I was 19 years ago of what God might do. I've found some crazy things in my life. I never get tired of seeing baptisms. And I bore so easily. It's the only thing that I've never gotten tired of seeing. That God would incredibly be saving people constantly. I never get tired of those words. May you be buried in Christ. May you be risen in Christ. I never get tired of hearing that water. Do y'all? I never get tired of knowing that God has somebody on His mind. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we meet together, God's brought somebody here today. Hopefully a lot of somebodies. To tell them one thing. He'd like to save you. He'd like to connect you to heaven. He longs for you to be with Him. And as we grow and mature, we long to be with Him. It's pretty neat. Well, I'm done. But God's not. If you all don't mind, if you'll stand with me. Let's really ask Him today. We're going to have an altar call. Listen, some of you are here for the first time and you're going, something's moving in me. That's the Holy Spirit. And you know what God's doing? He's asking you, do you believe me? Faith. Do you love me? Longing to see you, just as Paul was to that community of faith. Faith and love to find them. Today, guys, I want you all to begin to pray at this altar, okay? Everybody ready? Come on, the altar's got a little activity to it. At altar time, we don't do this. Well, I wonder where we're going to eat today. Let me help you. In America, being fed is not our problem. It's being saved. So today, there's some folks that are going to come to this altar. They're going to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Y'all follow this brother right here. If God's calling you to the altar, you come right now. I'll be done in a second. Come on. If you need to come and pray, come and pray right now. Now, you've just heard a sermon that alluded to 85,000 unchurched people in this community. I'll tell you another thing. We're not going to reach them through TV commercials and brochures. That's another myth of the church. We're going to reach them through prayer and through fasting and through caring and through loving and through preaching the gospel. So God, as you draw people at this altar, listen, if you need to say this, come say it. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave, and I ask you into my life. Faith and the love of God follows the faith of God, and the faith of God involves us in the love of God. And so come now. If you've never been baptized, you know what? You need to get that squared away. You may have received Christ in a ministry this week, and you need to come and say, you know what, Pastor? I need to set my baptismal date. Well, God's going to do that. Maybe you just need to come and pray. We continue to pray for the Drake family. Chad, you're going to make it. Do you know that, Chad? You're going to make it. And that baby girl's going to be all right. And I can say that with the confidence of Jesus Christ. And He alone. And that's it. He alone. Only Jesus. Only who? Jesus. Meaning we get through, don't we? It's amazing what God does. It's mysterious. But we get through. We get through. So right now, as this altar's open, I'm going to invite you to come. As Eric sings, you know what God's speaking to you. Come on, let's let God just touch us for a minute, and then we'll depart. Come on, in the name of Jesus.